pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
If you've been following along, you know that we are taking a dispensational walk through the Word of God from the beginning to the beginning. We're in the study of dispensations. We just got through looking at dispensation number 5, which is the law. And now we start looking at dispensation number 6, the church. I believe this is the greatest time to be living. Of course, I'm living now, so it is a great time for me. But it's a great time to be able to say that we're serving the living true God. We're living in the church age right now. We're living in the dispensation of the church. I believe that this dispensation will last until the rapture of the church, until God says, and he sends his son, and he says, go get your bride, son. And the Lord says, come up hither, and we go to be with him in the clouds. Of course, we'll be looking at the rapture as we study this section of Scripture, this dispensation that's found in the Scriptures. Well, notice that God has always had a plan, and I will continue to say that because he cannot be taken by surprise. God's always had a plan. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going to happen. That doesn't mean he makes it happen. That means that he knows what's happening and what's going to happen. Well, in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 10, Solomon writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Remember, God's word is just that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. As we think of this, we have to realize that God has given us his word to help us, to lead us along, first to be saved, and then as saved people, how to live like he wants us to live. And a Song of Solomon is written, and it is under the inspiration of God. It's God's word. Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 10 says, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. And then in verse 16 of Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter 5, it says, his mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Well, this book is the last of Solomon's writings, which appear in the Old Testament. It's sometimes called Canticles. The entire book may be styled as a drama. Well, some scholars claim that it's the story of Solomon's love for and marriage to either Pharaoh's daughter or an Israelitish woman, the Shulamite. And you read about this in Song of Solomon, chapter 6 and verse 13. Keep reading about that. Well, I believe it is more likely that the Lord directed it to be a general picture of the love of Christ for his church, which ultimately becomes his bride. When keeping with this, how beautifully stated is the adoration of the church when she says, Christ, that he is the chiefest among 10,000, the one altogether lovely. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 10 and verse 16. Well, many things have taken place, that has transpired during the dispensation of the church. We're here right now. I do not believe that we can pinpoint the exact moment the church dispensation began. I believe we can see the foundation being laid just before and just after our Savior was crucified. Notice with me, in Mark chapter 14, I would encourage you once again to have your Bible, if at all possible, and have it opened to the book of Mark right now, as we're going to read about the upper room and upper room. And if at all possible, I pray that you're using the Word of God, and I believe the Word of God is the King James Bible. I believe it was inspired. It is inspired. It does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. We can look at that and we can see what God has written to us. Well, in Mark chapter 14, verses 13 through 36, it says, "And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, finished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth, and came into the city, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily, I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is the one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed, and brake it, and gave to them, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they did all drink of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Well, just after Christ's crucifixion, we're introduced to Christ's commission. Now, these verses that I've read about the upper room, some feel that this was actually the formation of the local church. I believe it's a foundation of the local church. We read later on how the apostles were foundings. They were foundations that God used to found the local church. Now, Christ, of course, himself is the foundation, but he used the apostles in the early church to preach the Word of God, to bring people to him, to let them know that Jesus saves. Well, just after Christ's crucifixion, we're introduced to Christ's commission, to those who would make up his church. Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." I see many things in that verse. I see Jesus sending forth saved people out into the world to teach and to preach the Word of God. But I see also he says, teach all nations. That means to me that there is no one to be excluded. Everyone is to be included into the plan of salvation. God's plan that would bring all people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There is no difference between male, female, bond, free, red, green, black, white, purple, any color you mention, any race that you mention. All nations are to be told about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Well, notice something else. The church is the creation of God. It's not a creation of man. It's a creation of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." And 1 Corinthians 3:17 says, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9, "For I am the least of the apostles." Paul the apostle said this, and He says that I am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. So we know that at that point, as Paul the Apostle had written these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the church was there. The church is the creation of God. And I also see that the church was founded by Jesus Christ. He said in Matthew 16, 18, he says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He said, "I will build my church." He didn't say he was going to build it upon Peter. He said, "Upon this rock." He's speaking of himself, just as the rock followed those people through the wilderness and brought forth water. The Bible says that he was that rock. And he is the rock that the church is founded upon today, the rock of ages, Jesus Christ. Well, notice something else now. The church was founded by Jesus Christ, and the church is directed and energized by the Holy Spirit. Turn with me, if you have your Bible once again, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to read all the verses together that I'm going to give you right now. Note the following. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord." 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." 1 Corinthians 12, 11 goes on to say, "But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Verse 12 says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20, "But now are they many members, yet but one body." 1 Corinthians 12, 27, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." And again we read in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Since the church is the creation of God, founded by Jesus and energized by the Holy Spirit, it is the church's joy to look to God to explain His design for the church and His mission for it. God's mission for the church has several parts, and we're going to look at those parts as we continue our study. But as we think back in the foundation of the church, Jesus Christ is the foundation. He laid the groundwork while He was here, telling us to go out and teach and preach the Word of God. And then He tells us that there are many different people within the church. There are many different gifts given to individuals. Those gifts are given teaching, preaching, exhorting one another, helping one another. And may I say that it makes no difference what position you hold in the local church, that you are working for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't look at it as working for the church. Look at it as working. Don't look at it as looking for working for the local church, but look at it as working for God's church. Look at it as working for the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you as you serve Him. And if you've never been saved, may you call upon Him today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we've had. And I pray for that person who is saved. Help that individual today. Increase the strength that person needs. And that person who's never trusted you, may that person say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior right now."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.